great to be together tonight. I'm going to start off, and then Marisabel's going to have the class for the rest of the evening. So it's not going to be me again. couple of quick things. I am so excited about the Spanish Women's Day on Saturday. Everybody, please be praying for the Spanish sisters and their guests and their family and whoever will be there. I know it'll be just a fantastic day. The weather's supposed to be beautiful, and I know it'll just be very exciting for them. So let's be praying hard for that time. I also have an announcement about the Women of Strength. They're going to have their monthly brunch on May 15th. This is a Sunday, and we would like to invite those interested regarding the topic, the Big M. And for those of us who are approaching 50 and above, and you know what that M means. This will be an exciting time to share and ask questions over a lovely brunch after church. If you would like to attend, please add your email address to this announcement. And then a reminder will be sent out with further information closer to the time. So I'm going to put it right here. You can anonymously come up and sign it. So to start off, let's turn over to Psalm 127. 3 weeks ago, Steve and I and the Beckers got the privilege of going to Los Angeles for the International Conference on Youth and Family Ministry. And it was a great time. It was so good to be with John and Marisabel all weekend, and we got to go to different classes. There were a lot of very practical things about how we can help our teen ministry. That's what Steve and I focused on. And it was great because we were really encouraged about the things that are going on already in the church regarding the teens that we're on the right track. We've been building. But it also gave us a lot of vision of where we need to be going. Some great, great things happening all over the country. But, you know, it wasn't just about that. It was covered the whole gamut about youth and family and how we can be better in our families and really about how that's God's plan for the family from the very beginning, what that was. In Psalm 27, it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain." Verse 3, "Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate." So the Israelites here, you know, and the psalmist already knew how important family was, and that God created the family and that God needed to be the center of that family. And, you know, you look through the Old Testament, and God, you know, created marriage in the Garden of Eden. And then he desired to have a covenant relationship with us. He talked about that with Abraham. And it goes through that throughout that and that theme in the Old Testament, too. And then he gave Moses the law in Mount Sinai. And, you know, a lot of the details of the law, as you go through Leviticus and Deuteronomy, it has to do with the family and how to keep your family pure and holy, how to act, you know, around the family. So that was a big theme, you know, seeing how through the scriptures God's plan for the family really progressed. And as you get to the New Testament, there's a paradigm shift where Jesus really focuses on who we can be in God's family. And that's what Marisabel is going to be talking about. But another thing that we heard in one form or another is that whatever teaching we have in the church, no matter how substantial it is, it cannot rise above or compensate for the influence that we have in the home. The church can only go so far. It's our responsibility to raise our children the way the Bible teaches. It's our job to convert our children through God's power, not just the church. So that makes my job as a mom even more crucial. You know, it makes me think about how I need to be at home. It makes me more determined to support my husband and to help other families get where they need to be. So tonight, all of us, you know, not all of us are wives, not all of us are mothers yet, but we can embrace God's plan for our families and aspire to that one day. So without further ado, Marisabel is going to come and teach the great class she has prepared. It's going to be really cool. And share with us more what she learned.
so good to be able to talk to you guys. I don't do it often, but I like it. And I want you to think about, have you ever felt like you are part of royalty? Have you ever felt treated really nice and spoken to very highly and opened the doors? And I remember when I went to medieval times one time. I've been there a couple of times, but I remember one time I was there. And when you get there, everybody calls you my lady. And you're like, okay. You walk in, it's like, come in, my lady. And this is my lady, and the men are my lord. And you're like, wow, this is different. And you hear the guys with the trumpets, and you're like, whoa. It transports you to another century. And it's so nice. You feel different. You feel important. And you're like, wow, what else? What else? And then you see the knights fighting, and they're fighting over a girl, and you're like so into the story. It's really, really, really good to go to those shows. So we've been there like 4 times already. So talking about royalty, what's happening tomorrow? It's a wedding, right? The royal wedding. And in this royal family, you guys know, right? Kate Middleton and Prince William are getting married tomorrow morning, or this, yeah, at 4 a.m. And so there are rules in the royalty family, in the royal family. There is to be part of that family is not easy. And doing research for this class that I'm doing, I found certain things that you might find interesting. Well, she cannot be called Kate no more. No more nicknames. Her name has to be Catherine. And her royal name is Her Royal Highness the Princess William of Wales. Okay, no more Kate for her. Nobody can call her Kate. She's Catherine. Interesting, right? She won't be able to vote anymore because she's part of the royal family. She cannot play Monopoly anymore. It says that, believe it or not, Prince Andrew, Duke of York, outlawed playing Monopoly with the royal family at home in 2008 because it gets too vicious. So she will not play Monopoly ever. That, being part of the royal family, you know you have to be this way. Another thing she can do, she cannot eat shellfish. No more shellfish for her. So that is because it could be poisonous. All right. Another interesting thing I found out is, guess what? She cannot finish her dinner unless the queen is finished. So let's say she's sitting at the dinner table and the queen is finished. She has to stop. Even if she was in the beginning of her meal, she has to stop eating. That's because she's part of the royal family. Can you believe that? Okay. No more finishing your dinner. So eat fast before. All right. So she will not be allowed to say anything controversial anymore. She will not be able to work anymore. That's good. They said that she's going to have a lot to do, that she doesn't need to go to work, even though she has a history of art degree. She will not be able to work, and she will not be able to sign anything unofficial. So she will be, her life is going to be under a radar all the whole time. So that's what it is to be part of that royal family. Imagine you living in that type of life. Paparazzi everywhere you go. Anything you do is going to be in the news. Everything is going to be everywhere. It's very difficult to live like that, I think. But guess what? We are royalty too. We are all royalty too. And I brought my little crown. This is my crown that I got in the mother-daughter retreat. Right, Daniel? The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, 9 to 12. Let's read that one. It says, "We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires, which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they might accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." So we are royalty. You see that? We are chosen people. We're royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're God's special possession. You know what? He's the greatest king ever. He's the greatest. I mean, the royal family over there in England, they're sinners just like us. They're part of a kingdom where everybody sins just like she does, like Kate Middleton. But we belong to the kingdom of God. How amazing is that? Where this king is perfect. You're not going to be afraid of the king because he's perfect. He is amazing. There's no evil in God. So you could be secure that you belong to the best kingdom ever. He's flawless. God is full of mercy. He's flawless. He only wants what's best for you. He's not asking you to do anything that's wrong. He's only asking you to do things that are good for you, that are going to change your life, that are going to make you into a better person. God provided his son. His son died for you to become part of that kingdom. It wasn't easy, but he did it because he loves us. See, this is the best kingdom you can become part of. That's why you all should feel like princesses. You all should feel like you belong to a royal family, the best royal family. How proud should you be of God and of who you are? So it shows in our lifestyle. It shows in how we talk, how we act, how we behave, and how we deal with other people. God has proclamations too. I'm going to talk about that now. One of God's royal proclamation is, you know, like the England royal family, they have to have their rules and all that stuff. Our God has this proclamation that we need to be like his son, Jesus. He wants us to be like Jesus. Jesus came to this world to set an example for us. He came to this world to give us the right way to live. Not only he did that, but he also died for us, a painful death. And he said, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:21 that he set an example of how we should live. So God wants us to be like his son. He said, "I sent you my son. He died for you. Live like he did." You know what? It takes a lot. It's not just a nice thought. To live like Jesus, you have to think about it. You have to read your Bible. You have to meditate on it. It doesn't just happen like this. Because we were all one day without God. And we were all thinking that we were fine. Until we came across the Bible, until we read the truth, until we realized how sinful we were, and then we changed. We started the change. God started the change in our lives. So God says in Romans 13:14, it says, "Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." So we need, and God's proclamation is, clothe yourself with Jesus. How do you do that? How can you be like Jesus? Do you wake up and all of a sudden you're like, "Wow, I'm like Jesus today"? It doesn't work like that. You have to work at it. And I was talking to one of my teens today, and she says, "It's hard." I said, "Yes, it's hard. But it's the only thing that's going to send you to heaven." You know, athletes work hard, and they go for a crown of thorns or whatever it is they call it, that thing they get. They get a certificate, or they get a little trophy, or they get something. But that stuff they can't take to heaven. Right now, as Christians, are we fighting that fight to be like Jesus? I mean, I'm talking about waking up and being compassionate. It's not easy to be compassionate. Kind, humble, gentle, patient. I mean, these things don't happen, you know, from one day to the next. You have to work at this spiritual characteristics daily, with a lot of prayer, with a lot of submission, with surrender. God wants all this for you, but you're going to have to work at it. It's just not going to happen all of a sudden. I mean, having patience. This just happened to me. You guys know my mom. Some of you know my mom was here a few, she left last week. And it was awesome to have my mom here. But I've been married for 12 years. So I hadn't lived with my mom that long for many, many years. She stayed for a month. So it was interesting. It was good. It was good. We had a good time, but in the beginning, it wasn't that good. We bumped heads. We had to talk to each other. Things happened where she wasn't happy and I wasn't happy. And we said, okay, Mom, we have to talk. And it wasn't, the feeling wasn't good, but we had to do it. She's a Christian, too. She's a disciple in the church in Orlando. And so we're like, okay, Mom, let's talk. She's like, we need to talk. I'm like, okay, we need to talk. So we went to the office and we talked. And then there was some issues that she brought up about me being disrespectful. And I apologized. And I went ahead and explained to her the things that she does that bothered me, because those were things that were kind of hurting our relationship and was causing me to react. So I was wrong. And I apologized. I said, Mom, I shouldn't have acted like this. And I apologized. I asked her for forgiveness. I gave her a hug and a kiss. We prayed together. She listened to me. And it was good to be able to talk to my mom and bring back the peace that we needed to have. That wasn't easy. But we were imitating Jesus. We took that step of talking to each other. Even though it was hard, it was pleasing to God. It was something that turned our relationship around, because for the rest of the month that she was here, everything was better. You know, I said to her, trust me, Mom, I'm not trying to do anything to hurt you. And she said, you have to trust me too. I'm not trying to do anything to hurt you. And I'm like, yes, let's think that way, because we're going to be together for a month. And she was so good about it. We prayed and we hugged and she cried and I didn't cry, but she cried, and I loved my mom and everything, and it was so good. She had lunch with John last week. They went to lunch, the two of them, and she was telling him that she feels really good about his relationship with me and his relationship with the children. She sees a difference in the house. She went home happy, knowing that her daughter is well taken care of. So that spiritual vibe didn't just happen. We had to work at it. We had to deal with the impatience and the unkindness and the, you know, like the anger and all the different things that happen. We had to deal with it. And that's the only way we're going to be able to change people. Change ourselves first, but influence others, especially our children watching us. Or if you're living with roommates, your roommates watching you. Or if you live with your mom. Teens, you know, they're watching you. And it's just like everything you do matters. Everything you say or do matters. The children are watching and anybody else that's around you is watching. And you're going to impact them one way or another. So it is so crucial that we follow Jesus, that we clothe ourselves with Jesus on a daily basis. That's going to take a lot of prayer. I remember when my mom was here and things happened, I would just stay quiet and say my little prayer in my head. Dear God, help me. I'm not going to say anything. Please help me. So I would say a prayer in my head. But prayer happened a lot because I wanted to be righteous. I don't want my mom leaving and saying, no, she's the same. What's the point? You know, why she goes to church? You know what I mean? So, and that's my mom that's a Christian. Imagine your coworkers. Yeah. Imagine what your coworkers, your cousins, your uncles, your grandmothers, grandfathers, what are they going to say? Oh, she's a Christian, but she doesn't act any different. You know what I mean? So while we are here, while we're helping each other grow, let's make our best effort to be like Jesus. He wants us to clothe ourselves with Jesus. Another royal proclamation of God is that we must declare his praises. As we walk this walk, as we go through this journey of changing, people are going to look at us, and that's our opportunity to bring him to God. That's the opportunity to say, hey, you know what? We're having this Spanish Women's Day tomorrow. Can you want to come over? It's an opportunity to bring Jesus to this thing, that to this kingdom. It's an opportunity to bring the people to the kingdom of God. We just, like, again, it doesn't happen by coincidence. You have to think about it. I had a couple of invitations in my purse for the Women's Day Saturday, and I'm like, there's no way I need to leave this. It was 4 invitations left in my purse. And I went with my husband. I said, I had to buy myself a blouse because I'm going to talk to the women today. So I bought this blouse today. And I'm walking in this Scarborough Mill Mall. And I'm like, there's a lot of Spanish women. I'm like, oh, man, I need to invite them. So I got this urge to invite everybody to the Women's Day. So I went into different stores looking for my blouse. And as I was shopping, as I was looking through things, I'm like, hi, where are you from? I invited 4 women, and hopefully they come. But as I was going about my life, as I was shopping, as I was walking in there, for me, I invited other people because I want them to be part of this kingdom, part of this sisterhood. I mean, I love a lot of people in this room, and I know them very dearly. I love them very dearly, and I love them. I know them well, and it's... it's through Jesus. I mean, through Jesus, we're able to be close to one another. So another one of his proclamations is that we declare his praises. We have to talk to people about this great kingdom that we belong to. If we really understand what we're part of, we will invite people to it because it will benefit them. You will be able to help people be saved. Change people's lives through your life, through your conviction. But that conviction is going to cost us. You have to work at it. The power of God is there, available for all of us. We just need to go for it. It just doesn't come while you're sleeping. Like they used to say in college, by osmosis, it's not going to happen. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:11. That says, because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. So we work hard to persuade others. We prayed about it. I was actually, this is so cool that happened to me today. I was going around looking for my blouse, and I'm looking around, and then John says to me, come over here. Somebody needs your help. And I'm like, we were in the something factory, Burlington Coat Factory. So he goes, come here. Somebody needs your help. And I'm like, my help? I mean, I'm here shopping. And so he goes, yeah, somebody that doesn't speak English. So I said, okay, good. I was praying that God brings me to the person that's open, that wants to come. And I was looking around, but also looking for my blouse. And then he calls me, come talk to this woman. I'm like, oh, wow, okay, let me talk to her. So I started talking to her, and she told me what country she's from, and we started having a long conversation, and I said, you know what? I think God wants me to invite you to this that we're doing on Saturday. And she's like, what is it? So I started explaining to her what it is, and she says, okay, sure, I'll call you. So she's probably going to come. I gave her my phone number and everything, but I said to her, look, it's not a coincidence that I'm looking for somebody to invite to this thing, and my husband calls me to talk to you. So it is all God. I was praying for it. I said, God, lead me to the person that wants to come. And all of a sudden, he calls me to talk to this woman. So I'm like, it's not a coincidence. It's God. But I pray for it. Because I pray for it, it happened. So prayer is powerful. You have to believe it. We belong to this kingdom that is amazing. By our example, by our lifestyle, we're gonna impact so many people. I'm going to show you guys a video from the conference, from the Youth and Family Conference, of two families that made a huge difference for their children. And just listen to it and just see the impact these moms or these parents are doing in their children's lives. This is a perfect example how by putting our life, by putting Jesus first and following his way, we're going to be able to change others. So if we could play it right now.
I was born in Colombo, the capital of Sri Lanka. I was baptized in 1995. My husband was totally against it. And then he said, you can do whatever you want, but don't you dare take my children. So when he said that, in my mind, the things that were going on, I said, my children are going to get this.
Going to church with my mom, it was an adventure. Because Dad had clearly said, do not go to church with Mom. But Mom kind of snuck us. And it was great worshiping and fellowshipping with the disciples. But on our way back, it was more like, I hope he's not home. Because we're going to be in big trouble if he is.
I saw Mom pray a lot. Mm-hmm. And I also saw Mom stand her ground with really following scripture. Mm-hmm. And like she had very strong convictions. She believed that God will come through, and she was willing to go through that. And I think that's what helped me.
Every Sunday, she would make it a point, no matter what happened. She knew the consequences that were coming up. And no matter what happened, she said, I'm still going to church. I'm still taking my kids to go to church. That showed that she was fighting for something that she valued, and she didn't care what anybody else said about it or whatever she had to go through. I saw her faith and how she put so much value into it that she was willing to lose her life, literally.
Prayer was a huge part of my mom's life. And that's something I always constantly thought of because it did make sense, you know, the kind of response she had to the situations that our family was in.
Before we went to school, we used to read Psalm 91 together every day. I don't remember how long we did this for, but we used to read Psalm 91, and I remember her having this deep respect for the word, and she expected us to do the exact same thing.
I would pray with them Psalm 91, Psalm 121, you know. Also, I think more or less it's more of an example. You have to be that, you know. You can't talk one thing and do something else, you know. And I said, along with it will come persecution. So they face persecution in school. And I said, that's fine. Don't worry about it. You know, it will pass away. Some of my friends were asking, okay, so you're going to the States. Who's there over there? Said, I have lots of friends, but I don't know anybody, you know. I have lots of friends because my whole idea was the church, because I knew I could depend on them.
When I moved, I was in the teen ministry. Keith and I were in the teen ministry, and we had a really strong teen ministry here where there was so many different families that would have us over and come pick us up. They've really helped, I think, our family, just having, how Jesus said,
you'll not just one mother or father, you'll have many, many mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. And just seeing how in God's family that's so true.
As a mother, it was like, God, you have given me these four children. That's my responsibility. And you are going to help me with this. Also, my prayer was, Father, they are yours. They are not mine. You gave them. They are gifts to me. Use them for your purpose. And when these children are going on mission trips, I said, oh my gosh, my prayers are being answered. But they are doing God's working. So that makes me happy.
From a very young age, I mean, really young, it was just a part of their life to spend time with God at the beginning of the day. So like, you know, Amanda being 18, pretty much for, I would say, 17 years, she has every day spent time with God. And so when she became a Christian, it wasn't like, oh, I have to get used to this. It was already a habit ingrained in her.
Our family is different from others because We hang out a lot together. We are not separated a lot. We do a lot of things together. Instead of like, Eric will go to a store by himself. He'll ask us if he wants to come, if we want to come with. Or Amanda will be like, hey, you want to read the Bible with us? So a lot of families don't have anything to do with each other, but our family, like, they like to be together.
Well, I can remember just a kid growing up. Me and my dad went to the park a lot. The leaves would be clapping up against each other, and he was telling me that the leaves are praising God, and just with every little thing, just look for God in that situation. If he wants us to read our Bible in the morning, he'll be in his room. He'll have already had his quiet time. He'll share something with us and suggest it, like, oh, I read about David this morning, and for Sam, you should check it out and tell me what was going through his mind when he was being chased by Saul.
My parents really have shown me that it's a priority that weekends we spend with people at church. And I think them being willing to take me places really shows that it's important to be involved with other disciples. And I know there's so many times where my dad didn't want to have to go out to a, you know, Teen Devo on Friday because he had so much work to do, but he did it anyways. There's just other things to be done, but they just kind of put those aside.
I could see that discipling is important to my parents. They'll go with the Finks and have their discipling time before church, and then they'll go to church, and then after church, they'll be talking about the discipleship time. Like, it didn't just, like, go in one ear and out the other.
You know, we've tried to get input in, you know, all different areas with our kids because, you know, it's trial and error. And, you know, we have two that are disciples, two more that are doing really well, and it's not because of just what we've done our own. It's a lot of help.
And now it's so amazing because my kids now, my daughter, she's been to the Ukraine. She's been to Birmingham, and she's been to London. Eric is about to go to Philadelphia to work in the inner city for the Hope Youth Corps. No telling where these other two little ones are going to go, but I want them to see that when you read the Word of God and you say, I'm going to let it influence me, it could take you anywhere and let the adventure begin.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Living the life of a disciple, it's so amazing. Look at what you can do with your future generations. Being an example is such a huge priority, no matter what stage of life you're in. You could be a teen, you influence your friends in school. You could be a campus student, the same thing, you influence your friends in school. You could be a mom. You could see the result of influencing your children to God. You know what I mean? I mean, a grandmother, an aunt, a cousin. I mean, anybody around you is going to be impacted by your decision to follow Jesus. But it has to be this deep inside real relationship where it's obvious that you love the Lord, that you really are sold out to God. That you're so happy that you're saved, that you can't wait to share it with other people. I mean, being a Christian, it's hard because you're going against the world standard, but it's the best decision that you could ever do in your life. So I know we all love God here. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in this room. But as we walk this journey together, sisters, let's do it with all our hearts. If you know there is an area in your life that is not changing, submit it to God. Pray a lot about it and realize, tell God, I know I'm not being obedient in this area. Please help me change it. He will do it for you. But you have to be willing. He has all the power, but if you're not willing, you're not going to change. You have to be willing to go through the fire to change. And he's going to help you. So please, let's live as royalty. Because we are princesses. We are daughters of God, the King. I mean, you belong to the best kingdom ever. There's no better kingdom than this. So live like a daughter of God. Just be a representative of him everywhere you go. Anything you say, anything you do, the way you act, all that matters. It all that happens because of a relationship with God, because you love God. And so, as we go about our days every day, tonight, tomorrow, the whole week, think in your forehead, think, God, you, thank you. Think of, am I pleasing you, Lord? Am I giving you glory? Is this honoring to you? Is this conversation with this guy honoring you? Is this conversation with this sister honoring you? Is this attitude that I have in my heart honoring you? We have to take it that deep on a daily basis, whether we're home alone or we're with people outside. So please, sisters, let's run this journey with God the best way, with your whole heart, wholeheartedly. Don't do anything half-heartedly. You're just wasting your time. Do it all the way or don't do it. You know what I mean? So God loves you. He called you. You're a special possession. You're special to him. So live like you're a special person, and represent him everywhere you go. Thank you.